Hello.
Hi guys.
Welcome to the sixth episode of If I Speak. I'm Pinache.
And I'm Daniela.
So as you guys are all definitely aware of the horrible things that are going on in the world regarding the Black Lives Movement, the murder of George Floyd and so many other Black people who have unfairly lost their lives because of racism. We thought it would be a good idea, not only to, I guess, educate ourselves, but hopefully to educate others and just, I guess, start a discussion about racism in the UK and a lot of misconceptions about that. So yeah, just throughout this entire episode we're just going to be discussing different themes of racism in the UK and you know, why it's so commonly thought that racism maybe doesn't even exist here, or it's just there's barely
less any... prominent
yeah,
a very big discussion on Twitter about it and other platforms and stuff, and obviously we just wanted to sort of dismantle those different opinions and give give insight into as to why people would make that judgment and why others would think otherwise.
Yeah, 100%. Sorry, what were you saying?
I was also gonna say, like, I thought it'd be very important because just I feel like if you have a platform, it's a good thing to use. Say, for example, even our podcast talk about things like this and stuff. And obviously, you being Black, me being Asian, I feel like I have a lot just on, like, the whole, like, the Asian stance and this whole entire thing, because there's so many mixed views. Like, I don't want to call out people and be like, well, this is this, da-da-da, but I feel like there have been points that have been brought up that I just I think is stupid. But anyways.
Yeah. Before we begin, we just want to say a little note about, obviously there is a lot of things, a lot of heavy things that are that we are being exposed to right now through the media, whether that's on TV or like Twitter. Like, literally, like, if you go on a news channel you will see George Floyd's death. Obviously, like, it's very, like, triggering, you know? So just want to remind you that if you need to... Obviously, you guys know yourselves, but just want to reiterate, it's, like, it's really important to take time away from social 100%, media. If you're feeling like it's a lot, because it's not even just that. It's people who will come out with, like, racist and stupid opinions about things that can trigger you. So, yeah, just... don't feel like you need to be exposing yourself to things 24/7. But yeah, anyways, so getting into it, it's just dismantling all these opinions about racism in the UK. It's definitely a relevant thing to be discussing, like, right now, especially because if you are of the opinion that racism in the UK is not there, that is a very dangerous and counterproductive opinion to hold. Like, you know, you are taken away from what so many Black people go through. So just firstly, touching on why we think, you know, people hold this, like, viewpoint. What do you think, T?
I feel like we discussed earlier, I feel like people who form that opinion and honestly say, like, overt, specifically, instances of, like, racial injustice occur more.
Can you just explain it, just in case someone...
Okay, so, like, obviously there's overt racism and there's covert racism. Overt racism is instances where it's more direct. Like, say, someone saying, like, a racial slur to you, for example, that's that's an overt form of racism. Covert is more subtle. You don't tend to see it as racist. at the first instance, but when you look into it, it is.
Yeah.
So that could be, give me an example of this.
Like, I don't know, say for example, you, say for example, you walk into Tesco,
yeah,
and like a security guard is just on you.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Like it's so subtle, because now you might be questioning yourself. You're thinking, are they following me because that's just their job? Yeah, or are they following me because I'm a black person and they're just stereotyping? Yeah. You know? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Basically, I just feel like they can share that view, because there's obviously, in America specifically, you have people literally being lynched. You know, you have the KKK, you have very, very prominent, not to say that there are no, like, racist groups here, because there are, there are plenty, but I feel like there's a very prominent number of groups in the US that engage in very violent acts, you know, of racism.
On quite it's very often, like a lot of the times you will hear about hate groups in the UK, like running up on like black people, or just like even on Twitter, you'll see someone with like those Make America Great hats, like physically harassing people. Like it's very common to see in the US. So I feel like maybe especially from like a white person's view, when they compare it to the UK and they're thinking, oh, well, okay, like police, obviously we don't have access to guns here.
Yeah.
So that's obviously what's stopping that. But like, I guess, I think a lot of white people might view that, you know, because black people are not being killed on a scale that is going on in the States or like still being lynched or just like mysteriously like being murdered and things, they think, oh well, you know, there's not such an issue here.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, like racism is alive and well in the UK, and I think one of the like a major reason why, firstly, why the UK might come across as like so innocent is to do with it's the concealment of like its history and like British propaganda. 100%. Do you know what I mean?
History and current, present, everything. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Like if you look at like a lot of public figures, like British figures or whatever, like they'll say stuff like, oh yeah, the UK is an amazing place to live, like nothing's going on here. It's because, you know, like everyone knows about America's racist history, like slavery and like Jim Crow laws and segregation and stuff, right? But I feel like a lot of Britain and like the British Empire's history is concealed to British people. Do you know what I mean? Like for example, I don't know if you have any experiences like on this, but Winston Churchill, for example, like I growing up like in high school, I learned about, obviously he was the prime minister during like World War II, and the way you're taught about him is like he's this amazing guy who did good for Britain. Like yeah, he did good for Britain, but he's just classed as like this really like amazing character who was just fought for justice. But it wasn't until like after I finished high school and I just out of my own research, I found out like all this destruction that he caused in India. Like when the British Army like went to India, they stole, murdered people, like raped people, just did the most. And it's things like that. Where if you conceal, like, I think if you conceal a country's, like, racist and very problematic history, of course people are going to think that they're guilt-free. Yeah, you know what I mean?
Yeah. But I agree, because this country is built on the institution of racism alone. Their entire, I mean, this is history. We're not using our flipping history lesson, but like, that's very valid points to make in terms of this whole thing, because the concealment of facts, the concealment of the injustice that's been done onto blacks, ethnic minorities, for the longest time is there, is prominent in history, is prominent currently. And I feel like that's what we honestly wanted to just, you know, talk about. Because obviously even now, like, if we're talking about how British propaganda is sort of like formulated, I feel like a lot of the times there are things that we see in the media that are there because it was selected for them, by them, sorry. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, statistics and figures and facts and figures, like, I understand if you went to go do your own individual research, it's there for you. Like, you have the opportunity to read on the facts and the figures and all sorts. But I feel like a lot of the times, though, the media is very selective about what they put out.
100%, 100%. And obviously, like you said, is, of course, if you now go and do the research, you will get, like, the true knowledge. But how many people, like, I feel like it's, you have to cut into two things. One, how many people can actually be bothered to educate themselves about, like, these other things? Two, if you are, if the only, like, way you're, say, for example, like, you come from, I guess, a white background, and you haven't been taught that, like, the UK is doing certain, like, problematic things, you're not going to think to do the research if your only intake of news is from mass media, because, like you said, they are purposely selective of what they put out. 100%. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, for example, without getting too deep into this one, because this is a whole other discussion in itself, but if you talk about the army, most British people will hold the view that, like, they'll buy poppies, blah, 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 this and that. Like, the army is doing an amazing thing. If you can remember back to when, like, the British and American troops were, there was a lot more going on in, like, Afghanistan and places like that, they'd tell you, like, the death tolls of, like, British soldiers, American soldiers, but they'll never tell you the death tolls of, like, civilians over there who have died at the hands of British soldiers and American soldiers, or how many people who have been brutalized as by these soldiers. But if you go and do, as a result, but if you go and do the research, you'll find it. So, you know, like, it's subtle, it's media selection, which creates this sort of view of, we are such a great country, nation, and we are, like, almost, like, guilt-free because, you know? 100%. Yeah, it's just misleading.
It's just a lot of things. Like, even now, like, I feel like if you were to do... But see, that's what I mean. I feel like you said, P, like, if you're not willing to sort of try and educate yourself and do the research and learn about things and question things that you should be questioning about, at the end of the day, you're not going to be able to form these opinions and realize that this is exactly what's happening. Because at the same time, that's what they want you to think. They want you to think that racism isn't as bad here compared to other countries. That's why they don't put out certain things that they should be putting out. Take Grenfell, for example.
Literally.
Over 2 years, people still have not been rehoused. Why have they stopped showing that on the news? It comes, I don't know, it occurs. They show it sometimes here and there in certain articles or whatever, but it's not something that's been prominently put out. Why not? Do you know what I mean? Certain things like, it's because 100%. They don't want you to know. They don't want you to know the injustices that happen here. We're not saying, I don't want to take away from the fact that the US experienced exponentially a very horrible amount of injustices in terms of overt violence, covert discrimination as well, but at the same time here, the problem in saying certain things like that is I feel like it's also another form of, the government just wants you to think a certain type of way, and it's not true. You feel me?
Yeah, 100%, 100%. But just touching on that, what you were saying about like covert racism, I think that is another reason why some people might say, oh, like racism isn't really like there, and existing in the UK, is because again, like going back to what Dee said, it's not like we're trying to take away or like make it some kind of oppression Olympics between like the US and the UK, like, because racism is within both of these places, but just I guess it's different happening ways. In like very different ways. So like what I'm just trying to say is not to take away from like people's experiences here, or to like say this conversation isn't really to say racism is worse in us in another place or whatever, blah blah blah, but I feel like in the US, everyone, like, it's a global, like, it's global knowledge that physical violence and like white supremacy, like the murder of black people, it is very it's like is clear. You can't escape it. Do you know what I mean? I feel like so many black people over in America, they will wake up and go to bed in fear of their lives. They probably have, like, there's people in their neighborhoods who are KKK members, people who went to jail for like overtly like racist acts. Do you know what I mean? People, there will be black people in America who, if they speak to their grandparents will tell them about stories about people getting lynched, people getting like brutally murdered and raped, right? And of course, we're not saying that police brutality doesn't exist in the UK. It does, right? But I feel a lot of the time, like, I think what black people experience majorly in the UK is covert racism. And it's like, it's these microaggressions, which basically, it's like the racism is so subtle that like it has you questioning whether the racist act actually happens. Do you know what I mean? Like, for example, like literally, do you know how many times I've, like, casual racism, people, when I was younger, people say like, oh, like when you lived in Africa, like, were you poor? Or like people just like casual racism, like small comments, like you walk into your staff room and like maybe you bring your traditional food and someone's now like starting to cover their nose, or like you're a black male and someone now crosses the roads whilst you're trying to walk. Or I don't know, say you get like the police are just asking you questions like where you going, type of thing. Like it's one of them, like you're thinking, wait, are you doing these things just because like you're just bantering, or like you're just talking, or like you're just trying to do your job, or is it because I'm black? Like, you know, it's so hard, it can be so hard to decipher these acts of racism. But I can tell you, like, if you just, most of the time, if you like just follow your gut, like it is racism. And I feel like why white people might not think that racism is bad in the UK is because if black people are even struggling to like decipher whether that was an act of racism committed to them, how is a white person really gonna know if they're not really educated on these topics and they're not actually living through it? Because there's been so many times where someone has been casually racist to me, and I don't know why I bother, but like I'll scan the room and everyone's just kind of acting indifferent. They didn't even notice what was said. They don't clock it, type of thing. But 100%, like covert racism, it's 100%. Still racism.
That's what could be.
And it still hurts. It's still it's still do you know what I mean? It's just, is it still like not respecting someone, not giving them their basic human rights? So
it's still bigotry regardless, covert, overt, they're forms of bigotry. I feel like, also touching on what you said, like how will a white person who has privilege to educate themselves understand like how covert racism affects them if they don't sort of first notice that is covert racism? Because obviously the point in that is the fact that microaggression, sorry, they can in a way manipulate you, I feel like, and make you think very like, oh, did that actually happen? And I feel like a lot of that is sanctioned also by what they see higher up, you feel me? Like that's backed 100%. Up by like everything that the government does, everything in politics, in British politics specifically, that sanctions these behaviors. I feel like they all correlate and they all relate to each other, and because one happens, it inevitably leads to the other. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely. Going back to that thing about like how can white people know, I think, do you know what I mean? So some people may like not even realize that they're doing it, but they are. So I think just a, like a way to just like steer away from like, oh my gosh, like how do I know if I'm doing this or not, is whatever stereotypes, like stereotypes you have of black people,
remove them
remove them from your mind, because chances are that if you are coming, like if you are talking to a black person and you have these stereotypes, and maybe if you now bring it into a joke, 100%. What's a joke to you? Like it's not a joke, do you know what I mean? So like if you're probably bringing these stereotypes in, or like from like what Dee said, from what you hear from the media, politics, that type of thing, remove that from your mind, and I can guarantee like all these like little small covert acts of racism 100% that you might be doing,
I genuinely believe that disappear. From the same way you can learn new things and educate yourself on things, you can unlearn things, however deep rooted they are. I refuse to actually believe that you can't unlearn things. Like if you have the like being like, obviously, like I don't want to talk too much into this, but I feel like having the privilege as a white person, I feel like the one thing that you can honestly do is try to sit there and think, okay, how do I remove all these stereotypical thoughts that I have of one race group, of black people? How do I remove, how do I sit here and not participate in being a racist, in being a bigot? Do you know what I mean? I feel like when people go, oh, but how are they supposed to like unlearn things which they've been, you know, taught and it's been perpetuated by either the government, by media, their generations of family, and however much they've learned in the last, I don't know, however long. I genuinely just don't believe that. Like, I know people have different opinions, but I feel like unlearning things is where you need to start.
Yeah, it comes from that
100%
willingness to actually want to, like, you know,
100%.
What's the word? Yeah. Unlearn, basically. Yeah. 100%. Yeah. So just going back to what we were saying about how can you unlearn and just stop these things is maybe you might be thinking they're like, oh, but maybe I don't think I carry stereotypes about people in my head. And if I do, I don't act on them, or I don't, you know, I don't bring it out of me, whatever. But I think another side of where covert racism kind of happens is like people make very ignorant statements. Do you know what I mean? Or like, I don't know, for example, a lack of knowledge and asking things in an insensitive way, right? So the same way that, like, say, for example, I might be confused about like, I don't know, say for example I come across a transgender person, and I might be thinking how does this person have sex, or like how do they do certain things, like blah blah blah, like do they still have periods? Like that might be a very insensitive and like Yeah, a very yeah. insensitive question. And like, maybe imagine I asked that to a transgender person, like in a room full of people. Yeah, it's just the same way that like your lack of knowledge, you need to be careful with that, because that can now become like insulting to Black people. We're not saying like don't have good like educational conversations with people, but like just 100%. Watch how you do it. Do you know what I mean? Because there's been times where people might ask me like they're genuine questions, but because like you're being so insensitive, like race is it's a sensitive it can be sensitive, right? Like it's coming across like derogatory. Like, do you know what I mean?
That's
just another thing.
It can watch out for like insensitivity. Is that the word? Insensitivity? Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I feel like like we were speaking about before, I just genuinely feel like if you don't treat this with like respect and just like all around like respect for people and how they may feel and whether what you say will be insensitive, like I feel like there's other ways of trying to educate yourself and asking difficult questions without triggering a person, without invoking feelings, prompting insensitive questions. Like there are other ways, and that's part of the issue, and you don't realize that in the sense of it is a form of microaggression, right?
Literally 100%. Like, because honestly, like people can be so, we're not saying all people, like that's not what we're saying, but like imagine if I was now to like say to someone who got raped, like, and by the way, like unprovoked, just bringing it up, maybe I just knew, say if I asked them like did it hurt, how insensitive is that? That's wild. Like most people would say like, nah, you can't ask those type of things, right? But then I feel like a lot of Black people, we get asked like triggering questions and people just think that that's okay, but it's not okay. So I would just say like, if you don't know that something, if you're just kind of on the fence about something that you want to say, I think just for the sake of like people's feelings, or just not like coming across as like casually racist or ignorant,
people don't see this. Is this is the shit that people go through. It's not some sort of theoretical bullshit that you sit here and you think and you're like, okay, what do you know? It's not opinion. I mean, sorry, it's not like, what's the word? It's not a light conversation. Like it's not just a topic to discuss like lightly, you feel me? It's like feelings, emotions, people go through this shit, it happens, police brutality, like, and I feel like if you don't treat it with some sort of sensitivity, then you know, it's pointless.
100%, 100%. And yeah, it's just because like Dee was saying, everything is connected. So like, if like, for example, like with everything ongoing right now over in the US, like that just takes a lot of like Black people's minds back to like moments of racism that they have experienced. So just the same way that like, you know, just being ignorant towards them, little jokes, that could just trigger up a whole lot of things. But yeah, another thing that I think is a leading reason as to why people might not view racism as bad in the UK is because of like institutional racism. Like, it's another most of, like, you can see it, but because it's not the act of like being shot or like being punched, people might, it's something people might overlook. Do you know what I mean?
I feel like maybe we should give insight into what institutional racism is. It just basically, institutional racism, like, and the best example of that is police brutality, right? And it could also include the criminal justice system. It can include education, politics, all sorts of things, and health. These are things that are built into the actual institution, into the system of which we all belong to. And I feel like P was saying, this is where a lot of racism is very pervasive in. And you don't even realize it because you don't see it. It's not put out there for you to see. You'll only see this if you took, you know, your individual liberty to go research things and try and understand the actual situation at hand. So obviously, like, I think police brutality that we all know currently is one of the biggest issues so far, both in the UK and in the US.
Yeah, so just going back to what Dee is saying about institutional racism, is the reason why it's so hard to like notice it if you don't know about it, or maybe you feel like you don't feel it. It's because it's like, it's just, it's rules that have, that are made by like parliament, the government, the court system, that like it affects Black people and like Asian people, ethnic minorities, in a way that just unfairly like disadvantages them, like socially, economically, politically. Like, so for example, if we're talking about like institutional racism in the context of healthcare, right? Like, speaking about like the ongoing like situation with coronavirus right now, I saw this article. It said like the majority of, no, it didn't say, a third of like people who have died from it or people who have contracted coronavirus have been, was it Black or Black, was it like Black and Asian
minorities? But I think a big chunk of it was more Black than other minorities. Right.
Yeah, right. So like clearly we know that, like, following that, that like there's a lot of the healthcare system is made up of Black and ethnic minority minorities. So that is like nurses, your doctors, your nurses, carers and things like that. So if these people are in these situations and the government is not creating opportunities and pathways to properly provide for these people, that is just inherently 100% racist, right? For example, a lack of PPE. You might view that as like, well, okay, like, yes, there are like white people who are working in these institutions and it's not like, it's
define
not
what
fair
PPE
to them as well.
Is P true. For...
Sorry. So okay, you got me there. Is it like, protective equipment that just covers you from like coronavirus when you're dealing with patients, right? So like the government clearly knows that the like a large majority of the like not majority but like a large sector or like of this of that workforce is
it's a big chunk,
Black people, Asian people, etc. So if you are not properly providing and these people are dying, that is, like I said, it's just inherently racist. Like, you are not catering for these people's needs. Do you know what I mean? Like, following from, like, Boris Johnson's speech that he said, he's telling people, don't get on public transport, but, like, go to work, right? So, for example, it is known that, like, the majority of the poorest people in the UK, they are Black people, they are Asian people, other minority groups, right? So if you are telling these people to get back onto public transport, these are the first people who 100%. Are going to be dying. Do you know what I'm saying? A lot of, like, if you want to, like, use that term, unskilled labor, like these people and these who are taxi drivers, people who are security guards, bouncers, street cleaners, do you know what I mean? People in these unskilled jobs are often people who are not white. So if you are not catering to these people's needs, do you know what I mean? You are allowing them to die. You are not giving them satisfactory basics,
essentials.
Essentials that they need. Do you know what I mean? You're doing these people a disservice. The system that is institutional racism, like you're doing them a disservice. Based
on nothing other than their race group, their colour. You feel
100%, 100%. And like it's just seen in so many ways. Like as well, like for example, 100%. Education. Yeah. Right. If you take like even it's things that are so like that are just so like normal
you don't even realize
is racist, yeah. So for example, like D, like you, like coming from like being from England, you have to pay for
tuition. Yeah.
Right. Like we said, some of the poorest people in the UK are not white, so that. Like lack of access to education is going to keep them in these like lower places. Yeah. And for example, like I was just thinking the other day, you know, like top unis like Oxford and like Cambridge. Yeah. For example, students who go to like the top prestigious unis in the UK, like so Oxford, Cambridge, for example, if you look at like where these students came from, like what schools they came from, a lot of the times it's from private schools where the tuition fees are ridiculous amounts of money that like the majority of Black and Asian groups of people could never like kind of afford to pay for. So then the people who are in these top unis, of course, like you don't have to go to top uni to get like an amazing job, but we all know that it's a lot easier if you are a graduate of Oxford or Cambridge. Do you know what I'm saying? So if you graduate from one of these unis and you're now looking at applying for a job at like what's top 100 like FTC like companies, basically like the best companies, they are probably just like traditionally a lot more likely to accept the person who has graduated from Cambridge and Oxford, and of course these are white students, white people who are now gonna be easily climbing the socioeconomic 100%. ladder and just having more financial freedom in the UK, leaving like Black and Asian groups of people.
So obviously one of the things that we discovered today, and it's not something that we would have, you know, consciously thought about, because obviously we've gone through the whole UCAS system, we go to university and everything, but one of the facts and figures that we discovered was that Black university students, well, those who are applying to uni, are more likely to have their applications investigated just because of the result of racial profiling, to be honest. And I feel like it's certain things like this that you don't think about consciously, but they do happen, and they happen a lot. That just goes to show how deep-rooted like a lot of what we're talking about is. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just a lot of the times it's things that because we can't like necessarily like see it, we tend to overlook it because it's so behind the scenes. Like you think, nah, like not here, there's no like problem like regarding racism in the UK, but like definitely like it's there. Do you know what I mean? And just touching back on like educational racism, I'm sure like a lot of us, like when I think back to my like primary and secondary school experiences, like as a Black female, there was so much like casual racism that I went through by like my white peers, and just the level of ignorance is just actually like it's crazy. Do you know what I mean? And like we're so young that, to be honest, it wasn't even at a young age. Like I experienced like a big amount of it when I was like 17, 18, when you should be like understanding right. of like different cultures, yeah. different people, do you know what I mean? Like, there's the ignorance is yeah. just, it's just mad, like, honestly. And I know, like, 100% a lot of other people, black people will like mm-hmm. be able to relate. The educational system is so flawed. Like, personally, like, in my school, like, I never had an issue of like, if I had different hairstyles, like, I'd never get called up on it. But I've seen a lot like in right. English schools, like black boys and girls are being, what's that word, not expelled,
isolation,
like isolated,
just some sort of punishment, really.
Yeah, just. And you know, that's racist in them in itself, because they're wearing hairstyles that are like reflect their culture, right. their right. traditions, but it's seen as a sign of like disobedience to what, right. to what? Like that exactly. institutional right. racism. Do you know what I'm saying?
And it's not in just yeah. like education, it's just one sector of the institution. You know, there's so many different health, politics, government policies that have been, you know, sanctioned by the government. Other things like, you know, racial bias in the policing practice. So many things that you just, I feel like you do see there is some sort of exposure, but you're not taught or proper exposed that, like, how bad it is, almost.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. And, you know, I like, because it is so, like, what's the word? Like, so subtle. I think that we become like desensitized to it.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Because, like I said, with the covert racism, it's that type of thing where these microaggressions, like, they occur on like such a daily and like
right
ongoing like type of basis that you just accept it as the norm. Like, you accept that like a white person is going to say something which is ignorant and racist to you, and because you're not getting like severely violated, right. you just continue to let it slide, right. and you think it's okay, but it's
they're
not
desensitizing
okay,
you know what I mean? To it, that is the whole plot, the plan, everything. Like, when we talk about, oh sorry, I feel like I cut you off.
Like, no.
You know what? Like, you know how we sat back in FaceTime the other day and we just saw like how everything just links to each other. I feel like that is the point. Like, that is what they want you to feel like. They want you desensitized to things. They want you to see all these issues and look around and be like, well, there's not much that we can do. There's not much that we can change. You know, they want you to be like that. That's the whole point of the system. That's what they want, because they don't want people uncovering the fucked up shit the government has done. You know, they don't want solidarity. They don't want that. If you look at absolutely everything, going back to education, going back to politics and everything, why is it that people, black people and other ethnic minorities, don't have the opportunities as a white middle class child would have? It's because issues of gentrification, issues of not putting money where it needs to be put in terms of helping people that need better quality of life, people who live on the block. You know, people who live in lower class places that need improvements in their cities, their towns and all sorts, yeah? The government is not putting money into that. They're putting money into so much commercial real estate development. For what? Because they want to hide the side of the reality of things. Do you know what I mean? They want to put up nice things that encourage tourism, but they're not sorting out gang violence here. They're not sorting out knife crime here. They're not questioning racism in politics, because they don't want to. They don't even want you to think that way. You know what I mean?
Yeah. 100%. And I think, like, another reason of, like, how we become desensitized is I feel like a lot of the media and Britain's portrayal of, like, the problems and struggles that we face, they often paint as
right.
it's a you problem. You're right, poor, that's right. kind of a you problem. You can't afford this education, that's a you problem. like you're getting stabbed, right. That's a you problem, that's a you and your people's like black people's problem. But if you actually look deeper into it, yeah, a lot of the reasons why these problems start, it starts with 100. Institutional racism, yeah. For example, like just touching on like knife crime or like gang violence, yeah, a lot of it is yeah, there's white people involved, yeah, but just like looking into like right. black communities, like say for example like in London or like in other places, yeah, a reason why it might be so like it's so prominent is because the government, like you're saying, D, like they just leave 100%. These people in bad housing, bad opportunities. You know, they even take away from like community centers, right. They shut them down. There's all these children like running about, they don't have anything to sort of help their like creativity right. and talents flourish. And you know, if you can't, if university costs right. like a lot of money, yeah, you're gonna turn to like sort of easier things, which might be like right, criminal right. activity. Do you know what I mean? Like if you honestly look at like pretty much every issue that like ethnic minorities right. like go through, it's not just them problem. Like you need to actually like, you'll find that like this was truthfully caused by like the government, by like the 100. White
and
government.
If you share that viewpoint, I strongly suggest you sit down and actually think as to why you think that, because the point is that's how they want you to think. That's why you think that way, because that's how they want you to think. They get you to think like that. They make it seem as if they're just a few bad apples, right? And some people, you know, we're not saying that people don't have individual liberty to go do whatever they want in terms of bettering their lives. But at the same time, if you compare coming from a low-class neighborhood, having a certain capped income, to a white privileged person, right, who has these opportunities, you know, who's not affected by racial profiling. People don't realize, as soon as you're stopped in search, or if you're taken into custody because of racial profiling, and it does happen, things like this gets on your record. And the likelihood of a black yeah. person being racially profiled in the first place is more prominent than a white person would. So telling me right now, oh, you guys are the issue, black people are the issue, ethnic minorities are the issue when it comes to it, it's not a you problem, it stems from certain other things, and they don't want you to think that. Mm-hmm. They don't want you to think that. And guaranteed, if a white person had definitely. You know, an extensive list of criminal activity, or they were, you know, they have what's the word, they have a police record now, right? Guaranteed, if a person say for example, let's say it's a minor crime, what's a minor crime, theft, right? That's not a minor crime, but theft, right? Some would say it's obviously less worse than murder, right? If a black person had the criminal record of having done theft, and a white person, they would not be looked at equally. I guarantee you, that's not a thing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
If he comes into the store and they're like, okay, have you got, you know how we have DVA checks, right? If a black person had come in and had DVA checks and everything, and said that they have criminal activity, and it could be something from like, it could be a minor crime, and a white person came with the same equivalent crime, guaranteed they will employ the white person over the black person any day. And that's what we're talking about here. It's deep rooted, and people need to deep that. If you're sat here thinking, yeah, but it's still down to individual liberty, yes, okay, it's down to it. Okay, you're not going to get anywhere if you don't want to get somewhere in the first place. But at the same time, yeah, if you're not given, if some people are spoon fed and others are not, who do you think is going to be successful in life? The ones who are obviously given the silver spoon and spoon fed. It's common sense. Mm. That's why it's so hard to digest like, and understand why people would just simply sit here and be like, oh, they, you know, it's your own issue. And it's not. It's not. I think it's so ignorant to say that. Oh, I'm getting so flustered right now. Sorry.
No, it's all right. But yeah. Speaking of facts, D, like it's all true, definitely. What was I gonna say? Yeah. But I just feel like this, what you were saying at the very beginning, this ignorance, like it's not just found in like from white people, like
Asian
communities as well. So I'm just gonna let you take the reins.
I laugh, but honestly, it pisses me the fuck off, and I'm so sorry that I have to use some sort of profanity, but that's the only way that I can explain it. Obviously, there's so many different opinions regarding like Black Lives Matter and everything that's been happening in terms of race, right? And everything that all the injustices that Black people have been suffering. Okay, and obviously, I'm Asian myself. I can obviously speak on about the Asian perspective of things and no other race, okay? And I generally have seen so many different like mix of views, right? And I feel like one that is very prominent is the talk about how all lives matter. I'm not even going to get into how stupid that is when a white person says that. Sorry, I'm just going to say that because I just don't feel like it's fair for you to say that, right? But I'm not going to speak that way because I'm Asian. Although I'm not going to speak in terms of other people's race groups. Okay, I'm going to speak specifically for the Asian stance on this. And I've seen so many Asian people make the comment, you know, not all Asians are racist. Why should I be particularly, you know, inclined to support the BLM movement? You know, thankfully, no one personally that I know has said that. But obviously, there's a big discussion on Twitter. And obviously, my response to that is, Eva, you are a bigot yourself, right? And you're whitewashed and you're dumb. Sorry, I'm just going to say that because for me personally, it's kind of just like, that is the most dysfunctional thing to say and the most counterproductive thing to say, oh, not all Asians are racist. Oh, but I've never, you know, taken part of it. And also, oh, when coronavirus was happening, so many people, Black people and other people, other race groups were also saying racist remarks towards Asians. I just don't particularly think that is the correct time to bring that up. And when you do, like I said, if you don't follow me on personals, yeah, I genuinely feel like when you bring that up, it turns it into this whole different thing of race Olympics, you know? Don't take away from the experiences that Black people are experiencing just because you feel like you've been, you know, feeble with it. You feel me? Just because you feel like you have been attacked and I understand. I'm not taking it away from your experience, yeah? Asians get a lot of racist remarks and all sorts. And we also suffer from overt violence and covert discrimination. I understand that. But there's nothing more infuriating to see than denying the fact that anti-Blackness and, you know, is not prominent in Asian culture and in the Asian community. That is the dumbest thing, P. Like, and I genuinely, I don't want to be like proper insensitive about it, but I genuinely feel like people need to go out there and actually think for themselves and think, okay, why do I think this type of way? If you deny the fact that anti-Blackness happens in the Asian community, then you're no better than the white person. You're no better than your own oppressors. Mm. You sit here going, yes, I'm oppressed, this, that. But then you're also sitting here going, oh, but then why do they get the BLM movement? Why is this? Why is that? That's so stupid of thinking. Like, if you think about it. And the thing about it is, because you experience oppression as well, you know, by the white person. That's colonialism. Like, that's the effects of oppression. And you sit here and you deny certain things. And I just will never understand that. Because at the same time, it's a microaggression. It's a micro-invalidation of other people's experiences. By saying that, you are participating in micro-invalidations of Black people's experiences and the injustices that they experience. How counterproductive so is true. That? It doesn't make sense.
It doesn't make sense.
And for you, as a race group who has experienced the oppression by white people, every single time you sit and you go, I want to be lighter skinned. All of that shit that you experienced, you would think you'd have some sense. And to not participate in microaggression. Because colorism exists in the Asian community. And the fact that you're making it here into some whole race Olympics are we getting worse than them? Bullshit. Absolute bullshit. And that's what's so infuriating. So please, it's just so infuriating. I just don't understand.
No, I feel you. 100% is because it's like, what, like, you were just stopping a cause which, like, the way that you are, like, going against black people, like you're now, it's kind of like you're on the side of white people, but these people they, still don't because, view you
because
the same.
Do you know why? Because they them, don't you know talk about saying? It, right? They don't talk about the preference to be white in Asian communities. They want to sit here and talk about how they suffer from oppression as well. But at the same time, there's so many things. I'm Filipino, yeah. I'm going to speak from my aspect of being Filipino and growing up with Filipino values and whatnot, yeah. I genuinely believe there's just so many things and pointers that you could use and say, we still prefer to be white. And they don't say that openly.
Mm.
You know? They don't say that openly. So I feel like, I mean, without being, you know, I don't want to be insensitive. I understand that not everyone is the same. And obviously, you know, people have their heads on their head, on their shoulders, sorry. But I feel like for those who genuinely I can't deal. Sorry, I can't even put it in words because that's how emotional I get.
It's a lot. It's annoying. You know what I mean? I get you, though.
It takes away from the very essence of a thing. It takes away.
Yeah,
100%. It undermines the whole thing. And you know what? If you open your eyes and you look at statistics, yeah, black people suffer from a lot of things. You feel me? Mm. A lot more in certain aspects of life. You know? And it's because you guys are so selective about it. You fail to understand that everything that you grew up and learn and all the traditions that you experience and stuff and whatever your parents say to you, it's all forms of racism. Covert or overt, it's there. And you don't realize when you're sitting there with your family and they're asking you about this whole situation, the BLM movement, yeah? Not mine specifically, innit, yeah? But I can imagine a lot of Asian families are like, okay, why is this so prominent? Why is this so necessary? What's the discussion about? And you're sitting there and they're saying certain things that you didn't even realize were subconsciously racist. That's part of the problem. You know, there's things that... And do you know what it is as well when we were talking about learning things and, you know, unlearning things. There are things that I unlearn. There are things that you have to unlearn, right? I don't necessarily believe that we are born, you know, as a bigot and with stereotypes in our heads. It's all part of society and how we grew up, right? But I genuinely feel like there's things that I had to unlearn. There's things that you had to unlearn about one race group or the other, you know? And that's what when we talk about this stuff, yeah, is you have to be sensitive about it. You actually have to sit there and think, okay, where does this racial bias come from? Regardless if it's explicit or implicit, where does it come from? At the end of the day, it's something you have to strip away. And regardless if that means your mum's, you know, your Asian parents saying, oh yeah, but black people are this and they're feeding to stereotypes, correct them. Tell them what's up.
Hmm. That's the thing, is that you need to just, whether you're white, Asian,
right,
another race group, yeah, you need to just challenge certain stereotypes, views, ideologies that you have in your head, yeah? Even me still, like some, I've like you said, Dee, I've had to unlearn things, yeah. I have definitely held stereotypes about other people, other types of people, and I'm like, and it's just, you need to just take a look at it and think, why do you think this? Just because your parents are saying one thing at the dinner table doesn't mean that you need to uphold that view and now carry it around with you and now just become a prick to other people. No, like challenge these things. That is it actually right? Like, and yeah, you just become a better person, make the world a better place, just one
100%
small step at a time. Do you know what I mean? If you actually truly take the time to change,
you know. And I just don't want to be hearing about all lives matter, because you know what it is, in the essence of it, all lives matter, but bruv, the whole point of this movement, the whole point of Black Lives Matter, is to literally undo the injustice that has happened to the black race, right? And I feel like being counterproductive to it and juxtaposing the whole point of the movement by saying all lives matter, are Asians the same, this is that, I feel like it's so ridiculous. Because at the end of the day, this is not, we're not just talking about casual stereotypes, right? Racism is systematic, right? The system plays into it. Institutions play into it. The whole movement is based on the injustices that have happened as a result of that. And there's a reasoning. Like I said, it just removes the whole essence of the entire movement. And it's ridiculous. And it's not race Olympics. It's not race Olympics. Because at the end of the day, what makes you think that's better than your own oppressor? Than your white counterparts? By saying, oh, yeah, me too. Like, it's stupid. It's personally so stupid to me. I think it's dumb. And I get people come and, you know, and it's not intentional and people don't mean it maliciously or whatever. And I understand that. But at the same time, that same type of ignorance to try and learn and educate why you should formulate certain opinions and not make opinions insensitive is the same. It's the same reason why we say, you know, don't ask a black person uncomfortable questions. Do you know what I mean? It comes from the same thing. Yeah. If you're not, you know, willing enough to go out your way and try unlearn these things that you maybe are so deep-rooted because that's how you grew up to believe certain things to be, right? If you don't have that within you and you don't sit here and you question things and you're, like, removing all of the racial bias that you have in your head, then it's not going to go anywhere. You know, and it's not to say, 100%. You know, you just have to be one from one particular race group to be racist. You know, I feel like, I mean, to be not racist, right? Because I have a lot of white friends and I have a lot of white people who are doing their bit at the same time. But when we actually uncover this, innit, yeah, they still have privilege. It's still white privilege. You know, they're not the victims. They're not the victims of systemized racial injustice. They're not. And though I admire everything that they do and everything, but at the same time, this is deep rooted. It's not just, you know, it's different. Everything comes from a deeper aspect of things. And I feel like if you're not willing to sit down and do your bit, then there's absolutely no point. This is why we have this conversation. You use your platform to talk about certain things because otherwise things just, shit just stops. You feel me? Nothing will change if you don't sit there going, you know, and you being a bigot yourself sitting there going, oh yeah, this is race Olympics, like it's some sort of fucking race, man. Like, it's bullshit to me. Is bullshit to me, especially when you've, you know, I don't even think that you have to have, you know, experienced some form of oppression to support the cause. I don't think that way. But at the same time, it's like, to me, it's even more ridiculous that you do have oppressors, you know, and you yourself have been victimized by the system and everything that's happened, and you still refuse to believe that anti-blackness is a thing in the Asian community. So sod off with that shit. I can't deal with it, P.
No, I honestly agree with everything that you said. Like, it's so true.
Yeah, so basically that's pretty much all that I have left to talk about. I feel like I'm gonna have a heart attack if I continue. But basically we thought that it was also very, very important to put in certain bits of information that would, you know, help the situation. That being said, there are other things that you can do your bit, whether that means social media, you know, but there's obviously a large number of campaigns. If you haven't already signed the petition for the George Floyd thing, I suggest you go do that. And there's so many other petitions that you can sign alongside it on change.org. There's also so many things that you can donate to. The Minnesota Freedom Fund is one. And so many other campaigns. We don't know from the top of our heads, but obviously do your bit and do your research. Yeah, that's pretty much all I have to say, to be honest.
Yeah. Thank you guys for listening.
Sorry. For people who live in London, there's actually a protest on the Beli Mujinga situation. If you don't know about that, then try your best to Google it, I guess. I'm just trying to look for the dates. Right, so there's a protest. I'm not sure when we put this out, Pete, but there's a protest for the Beli Mujinga case in Hyde Park at 1 p.m. on the 3rd of June, which is this Wednesday. And also the US Embassy peaceful protest at 2 p.m. on the 7th of June, which I believe is a Sunday. So if you live in London, go to it. All right, cool.
Yeah, go ahead. No,
the one in Manchester's passed, but the only other one that I can think of is in Birmingham in Victoria Square, I believe, is at 1 p.m. also on the 3rd of June, which is also this Wednesday. So you live in, if you live in those areas and obviously you want to go to these protests, I suggest you go. Depends on how you feel about the whole coronavirus thing, but yeah.
Yeah, also there is, my mum just told me, there's one in Edinburgh, 7th of right. June, which is a Sunday, at 1 p.m, which is happening at Princess Street Gardens. Yeah. I will be there, of course, definitely. But yeah, right. Thank you guys for listening. We hope you guys are still doing well during honestly. This crazy time. Please make sure to follow us on our socials. Obviously, whether you are listening from Apple Podcasts,
Spotify,
subscribe to us there and Spotify. Follow us on Instagram at mm-hmm. If I Speak and on Twitter. If I Speak Podcast. But instead of a T, for some reason, Daniela put a one at the end. So If I Speak Podcast, it's and instead one. Of a T at the end, it's a one. But yeah, that is all for now. And
bye-bye.
Catch you guys later.